Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for January 28, 2024 is based on Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is A New Teaching. An introduction to our reading from Mark. Forces that would bring death and disease have taken hold of a man, yet they recognize Jesus and know what his power means for them. Jesus commands these forces to leave, and people are amazed at his authority. A reading from Mark. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Well, grace and peace to you from God incarnate, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Not to toot my own horn too much, but I was a pretty good student in elementary school, even a little bit in junior high and high school. I got A's and B's and usually took like college prep level classes. And so of those core school subjects like language arts, math, science, and history, which do you think I most excelled in? History? Language arts? Yeah. My best core subject class was math. Yeah. I liked the consistency of the formulas, and if you knew the process, you could plug any numbers into them and come out with the answer. Now, Megan, my wife, her best subject in school was English and language arts. And so we felt like between the two of us, we should be able to help our kids with whatever homework they brought home from school throughout the years. Well, this past week, I realized that maybe I'm not as qualified as I thought to help my kids with their math homework. Our middle daughter, Molly, who is in eighth grade, came to me with a question about her math homework. Now, I had aced all my math classes through 11th grade, so surely I could help out my eighth grader. But when I looked at the problem, I felt pretty confident that I could figure out the answer, and I could. But the answer to the equation wasn't the question that was being asked. The question being asked was about understanding how and why the problem solves the way it does. It was asking for certain forms of a quadratic equation, like vertexes or factored or standard form, and that's where it lost me. If you ask me to solve for X, I can do it. But I didn't know the why or the how of it working and how to solve it using the other methods described. I had fallen victim to this new teaching. Put up the next slide. I had fallen victim to this new teaching called new math or Common Core. Ah! Why couldn't they just teach math the same way that I had learned it? Who's with me? And walked away, my older daughter Maddie came into the room and helped to explain to Molly what I could not articulate. It was then that I realized that my eighth grader had far surpassed what I had learned in 11 years of high school math classes. And if she was that far ahead, I can only imagine how advanced my 10th grader or a high school senior might be. Maybe instead of being so scared of this new way of teaching math, I should be open to the benefits it may give my kids. There was obviously some power to this new way of teaching, even if I didn't understand it. See, and I found out that I, and probably a lot of us here, were learned on this way on the left here. It's procedural math. It means understanding how to follow a set of rules or steps, but not knowing why those rules or steps exist. If we teach children math procedurally, they can replicate the steps, but they won't really understand why they're carrying them out. And unfortunately, this means they won't be able to spot mistakes or apply their knowledge to other problems in areas of math. But new math, like the example on the right, focuses on children gaining a conceptual understanding of math. And today's children must understand why math works and how different areas of math are related. Because research has shown that the level of conceptual knowledge of math in a child that they have in elementary school predicts their achievement in high school. Now, despite the evidence that this new way of teaching math is far more powerful and effective to teach, why have so many people been afraid of it? Could it be that we don't like it because it challenges the way things have been, or the way we think things should be? Does it make us uncomfortable that we just don't understand it? Go to the next slide. Interestingly enough, in our gospel reading from Mark today, we are told that Jesus goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath and begins to teach. Not just any old teaching, but a new teaching. Jesus isn't teaching them new math, but he is teaching them something new. A teaching that has authority. A teaching that shows the true power and nature of God. A teaching that God is active in the world. God is in the world with us. And as Jesus begins this new teaching, there are many who are astonished, but then there's also that person who is uncomfortable with it. This new teaching challenges the way things have been and the way that things should be. This new teaching bothers this man with an unclean spirit so much that he openly confronts Jesus in the synagogue. The unclean spirit first refers to Jesus' lowly nature by calling him Jesus from Nazareth, as if anything good could come out of a small town like Nazareth. But then he refers to Jesus as the Holy One of God. This unclean spirit is the first person in the book of Mark that notices and calls Jesus divine. And Jesus' presence and teachings upset the unclean spirit because it means that the end of the powers of the world that overtake people, and the spirit knows it. He even asks, "Have you come to destroy us?" So what was this unclean spirit? Was it a devil or a demon? Was it a force of some sort that held control over the man? Whatever it was, Jesus notices it in the man. He silences it, and then he commands it to leave the man. Interestingly, he doesn't destroy the unclean spirit. He just removes it from the life of the man. I like this quote from Pastor Matt Skinner, who says, "When Jesus strips the spirits of their ability to inhabit their human hosts, perhaps the gospel author's claim is that Jesus denies the unclean spirit's capability to have a settled place or an entrenched influence in the world. Losing opportunities to win over people's bodies and minds, they lose the authority they were thought to have. This exorcism then does not eliminate evil and oppression, but it denies those kinds of forces the authority or power to hold sway over people's lives." This passage provokes us to stop assuming that the way things are must always equal the way things have to be. The reign of God promises more, whether the more can be realized now or even in the far-off future. And I would argue that there are still unclean spirits that are around us today. Some people think of them as actual physical demons and possession, and other people like myself see them as things like racism, sexism, discrimination, greed, abuse, addiction, and any other force in the world that devalues God's creation or prevents God's creation from flourishing as God intends. Indeed, our human existence is so constantly surrounded with violent acts of injustice that the only way for God to reach humanity is by countering with a divine word of power, a new teaching that we receive in the life and teachings of Jesus. For in baptism and Holy Communion, we encounter God, and God works in us to silence and remove the destructive powers of the world that try to have a hold over us. And as the hands and feet of Christ now, it is our responsibility to continue this work, both in ourselves and in the broken systems of the world. We are to name it, to call out the brokenness, and then to work to silence it and cast it out. Jesus' new teaching from 2,000 years ago has not become an old, powerless teaching in the 21st century. It still has the divine power to change us and all of creation for the better. We see the power in the love of God, in the love that God has for humanity, by the way that creation is formed, by the way Jesus lifted up the lowly and cast down the mighty, by the way that God overcame death, and by the way that God's love and forgiveness is never ending for us. We trust and believe that Jesus has come not to destroy, but to restore, heal, and save, so that we may live according to his new teaching, living our lives guided by God's divine ethic of justice, restoration, love, and peace. This is a new way of teaching that I can get behind. Are you willing to give it a try? Class dismissed. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.